It's recording. Okay, going to get started at what time do we have? 3:01 p.m.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you give us a roll call?
Yes, sir. Okay, roll call. Mayor's position is vacant. Ward 1 is vacant. Ward 2, Commissioner Burke.
Present.
Ward 3 is vacant. Ward 4 is vacant. Ward 5, Chairperson Clark.
Here.
Okay. And Ward 6, Vice Chair Pollitt.
Here.
We have a quorum.
Has anyone had the opportunity to review the minutes last meeting?
I've had a chance to review them, but I missed it. So, this is Bruce. But if you need a motion, I'll do it.
I'll take whatever I can get.
I'll move to approve the minutes.
Commissioner Pollack?
I'll second that.
Do I have discussion? I have before me a move to accept the minutes as accepted. May we take a roll call vote?
Yes. Yes. Go down the row, right? Go down the Commissioner Burke.
Yes.
Chairperson Clark.
Yes.
And Vice Chair Pollitt.
Yes.
Right. It passes with a voice vote 3-0.
Thank you. Next on the docket is a speed trailer discussion.
We have the staff update.
So I think we have the staff update first.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah. Chairman and members of the commission, thanks for the time. I'll give the staff update on business services department today. Two things that we're currently working on. We're working through our new recruitment process, which came online a couple months ago with our new Workday ERP system. We're standing up the recruitment piece of that. So business services is working through what that means and making sure that we get our recruitments out to the public so we can get some talent in. So that's what we've been working on the last month or so. And we have a couple that are just beginning the new process. So we'll see how this new recruitment process works over the next couple weeks. The other update I have is related to our American Rescue Plan Act funding, the ARPA funds that the city received. We got guidance from mayor and council at the meeting last week to try to close out that grant a little bit early by taking their ARPA framework and continuing those projects from our general fund money and taking some general fund money that's eligible for the federal grant and to apply that to the federal grant so we can close it out and then continue with the projects. That one I bring up because it's big dollar amounts. It's one of the main things that we're working on over the next couple months is to make sure that
it confuses me a bit.
It
takes money from one pocket and put it in the other pocket, then take money from that pocket and put it back there. Is that a keep people busy move? What's the value to that?
It is a little bit confusing. So the federal money has federal guidelines that limit what you can use it for. And the framework we designed for how we wanted to use the federal funds, we designed when the feds said, here is our intention. Over the last couple of years, though, that intention has been refined with additional requirements and guidance that sometimes is not exactly aligned with our original purpose. So some of the projects that we wanted to do, even though they appeared eligible at the time, we're running into some constraints on being able to deliver those projects under the current federal guidance. At the same time, we have money, or we have costs that are clearly eligible for the federal program that are currently in the general fund being used not under the federal grant, but they're eligible for the federal grant.
I should just apply the federal grant to them.
That's what we're doing. So that's what this whole thing is to apply the federal grant to those eligible expenses. But we still want to do what we plan to do. We're just going to do it with the freed up surplus that we get by applying those costs that we already incurred.
All right.
Okay. Those are the two big things we're working on. The ARPA funding is $135 million from the federal government. It's the second round of like the big CARES funding across the nation. Our first round was the CRF funding that closed out after the first year of the pandemic. And this is their second big effort. Hopefully we'll be closed up by the end of this calendar year. And then other agencies around the country, the official deadline for those ARPA funds is obligated by the end of this year and spent by the end of calendar 26. All right, those are my two big updates. Welcome any questions that the commission might have.
Commissioners, do you have any questions?
None for Burke.
Nope, nothing for me.
I'm afraid I do.
Okay, yes.
The city has been in existence for some time. What is the new recruitment issue that you're working on? Why is it a new procedure?
So the process that we had previously was in a recruitment software program that would kind of track when we post jobs, as applications come in, it goes into the software program, kind of manages the whole process of job postings, applications, hiring process. 2.5-3 years ago, we implemented a new ERP system, which is an enterprise resource planning system, which encompasses things like finance, budget, HR modules or sections of that system. As you heard in our previous updates, finance and budget, we went through those growing pains a couple years ago as we converted into the new system. HR now is doing that same conversion of that recruitment piece into this new enterprise system. What that means is some of the pieces kind of change. The system, the way it tracks and pulls information together in the recruitment all the way through hiring. And then additionally, once people are onboarded, how their information in the main system then also carries with them as they become employees and goes into the budget or the finance side of things also. So that's the new process, is the recruitment side of that is now in a new system, which has some system processes that are in place, which means we had to kind of look at our job descriptions, rewrite them to be more specific on what people do instead of just general on what a job does. So that's a new piece. And what that does is that then feeds into the announcement to the public that people can then apply for. So it's the new design of how we write that then kicks off the whole rest of the process.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Anything further from Mr. Williams?
None for Burke.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. Now we're talking about the speed trailer.
So, yes, so Blake Olison from the Department of Transportation and Mobility is here to give a presentation on the speed trailer and the data and the information it collects.
Welcome.
You're on mute, Blake.
Greetings, Commission. Happy to be here. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Yep.
Great. Okay, so I'm going to tell you everything you wanted to know and didn't want to know about speed trailers. So bear with me. Speak up. If you have questions, stop me at any time. I tend to talk fast. I'll try to go a little slow. So this is portable speed feedback signs. There's one on the lower right. That's me back in the day working on them. So overview. So we have 16 units in our fleet. So we have 16 of these trailers. They cost about $8,000 each. We purchased the first six in 2020. Our director at that time authorized that. And then the pandemic hit. And then I said COVID funds. I don't know the exact fund source, but it was stimulus funds we were provided. And through the city manager, he authorized the use of those funds for this. So we purchased 10 more. We typically deploy them in pairs. So there's one, you know, if it's a street segment, we're trying to influence speeds. We, you know, typically have one for each direction of traffic. It also helps managing the number of units since we have so many. We unofficially sort of designated two to each ward, or one pair or two trailers to each ward. So each ward has, you know, their list of intake, and I'll get into that a little bit more. It also helps us manage them because rather than driving one trailer all the way across town from Houghton to Campbell, you know, they're all sort of centrally located in the ward. So it saves on efficiency in that way. The wait time for if you request one, and I'll get into that again later, varies. It just depends on how many requests there are for each ward. Right now, we don't really have a lot of requests, so it's a good time to request one if you so choose, and I'll again show you how to do that at the end. The wait time has gone way down. It used to be months, over 6 months, but we've really ratcheted down and streamlined our deployment process. So right now there's almost no wait time. Of course, when the word gets out, we tend to get a lot more requests when neighbors see them. So we have 12 units, like I mentioned, for the wards. So that leaves four over left over. So we kind of reserve the four for these three categories. They frequently are vandalized. Solar panels get stolen. Batteries get stolen out of them. They get graffiti like this. So having the extra four really helps us get them off the street as soon as they're damaged and back in the queue. We also use them for construction zones, for worker safety on city projects. And then not so frequently, but we do have some special DTM projects where they're doing some kind of neighborhood thing, and they would like, you know, slower traffic for that time period. So deployment. So we keep a map of all the locations that they've been deployed at and where they're deployed at. We need to confirm that there's not a right-of-way permit open for that location, because we don't want to put the trailer and the next day Southwest Gas comes and says they're building a gas line and we need you to move your trailer. So we check that again, first come, first serve on the list. We do do a minimum 2 week deployment. So once we get them out there, we like to leave them for 2 weeks. If we leave them for too long, kind of speculating here, but we seem to get more vandals because they drive by it frequently and their mind starts thinking, that's interesting. I wonder if I could do something with that. So getting them on and off in that time slot really seems to minimize that temptation from people. It is pretty labor intensive to manage these. It's about a half person's job almost. Of course, they got to map it and check the right of ways. Each time you move it, you've got to change the signs that reflect the speed limit. I'll just make you dizzy here for a second, but like this one says 30, so they have to unbolt the sign and put a 25 or whatever street it's on. They're not completely autonomous in the sense that they're solar powered. but it's better to get them charged on 120 volt plug-in. Periodically, it extends the battery life. So we do have to take some out of service, and we try to use the four extras to do that. But that means they have to be driven all the way back to Thomas Price Service Center at Park and Ajo for charging, which just takes more time and labor. When we do get vandals, we do file police reports. Some cases, the police do come and take prints and go through all that. Sometimes they want you to wait there, and it can be up to 2 hours or more for them to come. So that just takes time. Also, there's 48 keys, including the wheel and hitch locks and the access panel. So it's kind of, you have to be an organized person to do this. And then there's data cards in each one that collect data. And so those have to be manually removed, downloaded, swapped out. So, and all, imagine 32 cards. You have to be very good at record keeping.
I may interrupt.
Please do.
What data is collected?
I'll get to that in a second. That's later in my slides. So the data, so again, it's just this person we have that does it is very detailed, thankfully. and so all this has to be managed because we don't want to report the data for a location that wasn't the location that the person requested, obviously. I can share this later, but this is a deployment criteria. Obviously, it needs to be in the right of way. It's got to be out of the traveled way. It can't obstruct traffic. It can't obstruct sidewalks. It's got to be able to be aimed so that the radar can see the vehicles. And it's got to be in out of shade so that the battery can remain charged. So 99% of the time we can find a spot for these. Sometimes it's not the best spot, but these are just the constraints that it works under. So then we keep tracking sheets written and then saved, upload to file, so we can keep records of where they were and when. And then this is how the display is set. So if it's 30 miles an hour speed limit, the it will not display anything on the screen until after 20 miles an hour. And then when you get up to 40, if you're at 30, it's going to start flashing the speed that they're traveling at.
Blake, you get up to 36. Sorry to interrupt, Blake. Vice Chair Pollock has her hand up.
Please.
You're on mute.
I know. Can't find it. Hey, that map you had that shows where you deployed them, what time period is that for? Because there's not very many dots on that map.
Well, each dot represents one location.
I know. That's pretty pitiful, actually.
And this map was I'd have to find the date. It wasn't since 2020. It's probably 2 years, 2022.
You guys have only had these since 2020?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, I got more questions later. But yeah, if this is the full map of everywhere they've been deployed since 2020?
No, since 2023, I'd have to check the exact date. We didn't start using this map until fairly recently.
But even so. Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is that we're doing it upon requests. We're doing it on request, and we don't want to leave them for months and months because they will be vandalized. So
yeah, I know. I got more questions later. Okay. Thanks.
Okay, so again, if the speed limit is 30, it's not going to display anything until 20. Once you get to 35, it's going to start flashing the speed the driver's at. You get to 36, it's going to flash slow down, the word slow down. Once you get to 41, it's going to say slow down and then red and blue lights to sort of fool people into thinking it's a police car. We'll come on at 41. And then 55, it won't, because we don't want people seeing what their high score is. So that's the display. We mostly did this when we first got them and we only had six to manage. We would deploy them dark. So we'd park the trailers out there and they wouldn't be displaying anything, but they would be collecting data. So we do that for a few days and then we drive out there again and then turn them on. And then they would be there for 2 weeks and we collect the data. So at this point, just because of the level of staff and managing this many vehicles, we only provide the data if it's requested. Again, 16 data cards, 32 for swapping. It has to be manually retrieved, managed, and then we'd have to download the data and process it and then analyze, and I'll show that in a second. It collects the volume of vehicles. So for example, on Limberlost, there might be 4,000 cars a day. So it'll count that number of cars, but it doesn't work on multi-lane roadways. So if you put on Houghton, because there's three lanes, it can't count accurately the number of vehicles, because one vehicle might be blocking the view of the other vehicle. So while it will collect data, it's not accurate. We have verified that the single road data is accurate than 95%. And of course, it collects vehicle speeds. The example data from the software that it prepares, or that it kind of spits out, is a graph like this. And so this is the number of vehicles going each speed category. So essentially, if you look at 25, there were, in the time period that was collected, they counted 5,500 vehicles were going 25. The 85th percentile is kind of an engineering, traffic engineering number, where you say that 85% of the vehicles were going 30 miles an hour or less. And that's traditionally how speed limits have been set. There's a lot, that's a whole nother discussion. They're moving away from that number to get lower speed limits. But this is the data. We usually don't send out, I'll show you the sheet that we usually send out, because it's kind of not really a common laypersons could understand. So that's the speed profile. And then of course it collects volume. So it does it in, actually this is showing in hour buckets, but we can slice it any way we want, 15 minutes. But it shows how many vehicles are traveling on the roadway. So you can see Monday at midnight, 7 passed by, and then it increased obviously during the day, and then it dies down overnight. And then we can see the average weekday. So on this road, it's 2,500 vehicles per day in that direction. So for the whole roadway, it would be about 5,000, because you have to take the two trailers for each direction. And then we usually provide a sheet if data is requested. We usually provide just a breakdown like this, because it's easier to understand. So say what the posted speed was, the day it was deployed, how many days it was off for the before dark data. And then we report on the effectiveness. So in this case, the 85th percentile speed dropped from 34 to 32. Not very impressive. The number of vehicles over 35 dropped by half. That's where we usually see the greatest effect of these. We don't leave them out for months and months, so we don't know how consistent that stays over time. We do share the map of the locations with Tucson Police Department. So if they so choose, they can pair the trailer with enforcement. Then we report the weekday volume and the weekend volume. And just so you know, for most roadways, the weekday volume and weekend volume are fairly consistent day to day, month to month, except for holidays and things like that. If you wanted to request a deployment, you can call 311. You can email your ward office, and it'll come to us. But we ask you to be as detailed as possible. If there's a certain, if you said like East Fort Lowell between X and X, that would help us out in deploying them. So that's pretty much all I have.
Commissioner Pollack.
Okay, yeah, now please. I got my battery of questions. Okay, sure. I requested speed trailer data for a garden district last year. Never got it. And I think I requested it again. Never received it. You guys put the trailers out here. I can't exactly remember when it was. June, July, I don't know. But we need the data. And okay. I beg to differ with you on the fact that TPD is reviewing this data. We interviewed TPD, I don't know, months ago. They said they don't get this data. And so
let me clarify. We don't share the data with them. We'd share the locations of the trailer in case they choose to pair enforcement with them.
They won't ever do that. They don't have any people. They need the data. So how can the city, how can DTM team up with TPD? Because they don't use the data because they don't have the data. They don't even know it exists. They don't know where the trailers are. Even if they see them, it won't matter to them. So that's my big thing. You got, and these trailers, this is another one of those things where those trailers should be deployed every day of the week. So the fact that there's no waiting list, well, half the people, like you say, don't even know they're available. I mean, they make an absolute difference with speed when they're out here, except until they get vandalized. So our trailer, one of the trailers, we had on east-westbound Pima between Alvernon and Swan. And probably about 4 or 5 days after it got deployed, it was turned around. It was never taken data again, I'm pretty sure. I don't think it was operational because it had been turned. And so it wasn't pointing near the traffic anymore. And so I get the fact that they get vandalized. We should have more of them. There should be a lot of them. That map that you have should have dots all over the place, like we have dots for crime in the city. So, yeah, the fact that we're not utilizing that as a tool to help slow down traffic is really a missed opportunity. So that, this city is so strange sometimes. They're very reactive. So they wait for people to report something before they do anything. I would hope that DTM would come up with they could pair with the police. They could look at traffic data where we're killing people. We kill people along Grant Road all the time. They step out in front of traffic. Alvernon's the same way, and a bunch of other streets, Fort Lowell. They know where the speeders are. They should be deploying those units, these speed trailers, where they know they have a known problem. And granted, they don't work as good, you said, on multi-lane roads. So, hey, I got Collector Street. I've got Columbus and I've got Pima. They definitely work. They're single lane, single travel lane streets. They work. I mean, honestly, I go out there all the time and I walk on Pima. I'm surprised I haven't been hit by a car yet because I'm picking up garbage out there. But I've got a whiteboard and I'm thinking about going and setting it up on an easel, telling everybody what the speed limit is because they won't go it. You know, and I see your map there. I would love to see that Pareto chart for Garden District. I want to see it because I want to know. I'm not confident that 85 percentile is in effect in this area. I mean, you can go out on the strangest times, like say Sunday morning at about 11 o'clock and people will run you over. Saturday, that they're busy going somewhere. They're going to kill you. And we need those speed trailers out as much as possible. So I mean, I'll be happy to request another one. I need them on Columbus and I need them on Pima. And so, because the other thing that's happening is as soon as that Grant Road widening kicks in, and some of it has already taken place, we get people all over the place screaming down through our our side streets, but we get them screaming down Columbus and screaming down Pima. So the police do not have resources to put out motorcycle police. They don't have the motorcycles or the people. So the least we can do is put out these speed trailers. We have two of these speeding signs because we had two pedestrian deaths within a very short time period. Last year, they put up two of those radar signs that are permanent. And they absolutely do help. They slow people down. But as soon as they pass that zone, it's only about a block long. They speed again because they've forgotten what the speed limit is. So yeah, we need more tools. We're just sitting ducks out here waiting for people to kill us in their cars. So yeah, so TDOT shouldn't be waiting for requests. You should be trying to help figure out where they need to go with the police department. That map, I'd love to see that updated with what the time period is, and have that thing distributed to the neighborhood associations that those are in. Utilize these trailers better. Collect vehicle speeds. Yeah, I want to see that map. And most of all, I'd like to see our speed data from last year, although it's pretty obsolete by now, because it's probably been 6 months. It's been more than 6 months, probably been 8 months. So that stuff should be online. You guys, honestly.
Commissioner Pollack, if I may, I think I would like to have the committee meet on some of the questions that have been asked and some more that may be asked, but I have a couple of questions I would like to
ask. Okay, great.
Has anyone considered outreach to the ward offices, the home neighborhood associations, and to get the information out so that there may be some help watching the things and watching against vandalism? If there's cooperation and outreach between the neighborhood associations, the ward offices, and the transportation department. Not just the police are kind of hung up on what they can do.
I think that's a great suggestion. I will make sure that each ward is notified and reminded that they have this resource and ask them to consider putting it in their newsletter.
I think maybe, I don't think one newsletter will do it, but if you can kind of calendar it to promote it over time, you know, every couple of months, it may sink into someone.
Well, Blake, the city has all the neighborhood association board contacts. They have all that information. It's in a list. There's 165 of them or something. They have it all. Rebecca Roop, she helps us with neighborhood stuff. They have NewsNet, which the city authors. It goes out to everybody on the list. The ward offices are not as good of a contact point. I mean, you can. That's one more newsletter. But more people get NewsNet. And besides, they know all of our email addresses. All you guys have to do is send out an email informing people, here's a resource for you. So yeah, you guys already have the information. So it's a good point, though.
This is great, but somebody's actually going to do it.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, I just remember I'm the traffic engineer, so I have to reach out to others to do their part.
If you want something, then you really got to group and work together. If every little section is interested and involved with their own work, it tends to make everything a little narrow. And someone else might think it's a great idea, but they hadn't heard it. Commissioners, any other questions?
None from Burke.
I want to thank you for the presentation.
Yeah, so I just to clarify, my follow-up items are I'll look into, I'll just ask, we have a communications division, so I'll have them reach out to the wards, get it on NewsNet, look into sending if they have a listserv or something for each neighborhood association. I hear you loud and clear, utilize them more. I think that this outreach effort is going to totally result in that. and I will follow up on the Garden District data, and I will put Commissioner Paul, can you help me? And I'll just put it in right now. Pima between X and what?
It was Pima between Alvernon and Swan, and okay. It was Columbus at the same time between Grant and Speedway. But yeah, I would appreciate the data. I'm a data person. We like to see what's happening. Plus, we know we're going to be highly impacted by the Grant Road widening.
Yeah.
And there's going to be a lot of traffic coming through.
Sorry to interrupt. So I will. I actually have your email. So I will put those in, and we'll get. I don't have the list, so I don't know if that ward one's taken up, but I don't think it is. So I'll get Pima first, and then Columbus will be after. And then we'll get that fresh data for you. And then I think that was it. Oh, I'll look to see if you can share that web map out so you can see the locations.
Now, do you have a contact at TPD?
Yes, we meet with TPD weekly. Actually, I think we should save this for another session, but we meet weekly. They're using data right now to strategically deploy their motor officers. So
I know.
And we're working with them on that. And we're also looking at adjusting signal operations. So
all kinds of things.
I'm closely involved with the captain over the traffic division.
Can I ask a question? How many of these are being deployed at this time?
I don't know. I'd have to check the list.
It doesn't, if they do any good, it doesn't seem to be any value to have them sitting in the garage somewhere.
Certainly, it's just that, you know, we were given this. Not complaining, but basically we're told to do this and no more staff. So that means less work gets done on the back end.
Gotcha. Thank you. Anything else for our guest?
I just want to thank you for coming, Blake. I know you're always helpful and full of information, and it's tough if you don't have enough resources.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Any time, Commission. And I think the greatest thing that came out of this was, Blake, get those feed trailers out there and get the word out that they're a resource, because I don't want them sitting in a yard either. That's just wasteful.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Bye.
Thank you again.
Yeah, bye.
The next item on the agenda is IAPC appointment discussion.
Yes, we have folks here from the city clerk to kind of go over, give an overview on BCC appointments and be available to address any questions on the amount of vacancies at IAPC. City clerk, y'all take it away.
So, hi, my name is Yolanda. I'm the Chief Deputy City Clerk. I oversee BCC's for now. Danny Garcia is my management assistant who directly works with BCC's. So, I'm not sure, other than you don't have enough members, what your questions are about appointments. What is it that you're wanting to know?
Well, I will start off with sure. I'm sorry, Commissioner Burke.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess what troubles me is that since my arrival on this commission in a recent past, we've at least several times advised the mayor for in particular that there is an open seat, and to my knowledge, we don't get a response. And it's difficult to imagine why we don't. Is there a good explanation for that?
I don't know that there is a good explanation, other than we do communicate with the mayor and council offices when there are vacancies, letting them know that, you know, the commission is asking, do they have somebody they'd like to appoint? Because really it's up to them. We follow their direction. But one thing that I do want to suggest is that if you all know of people that are fit the qualifications or meet the requirements for appointment to the IAPC, you can have them fill out our online application to serve on the commission. And then at least that way we can send that information to those offices that have the vacancies and ask them to consider making that appointment. Another thing that you might want to do is come and speak to the mayor and council during call to the audience, just letting them know that you guys are down, I think, 4 members. It's really hard to run the commission when you don't have the members needed.
It's 4-7, by the way.
Right. Even though you're a Category 1 commission, where your quorum is of whatever members that are appointed at the current time, it's still hard to run a commission with only 3 out of 7 members. So you're more than welcome to come and talk to the mayor and council at one of their next meetings if you wish, and just kind of put that plea out there. But then at the same time, like I said, if you have people that you would like to, that you know are qualified and meet the requirements for the commission, have them go online, fill out the application. That'll get sent to Danny and my staff, and then we will make sure that the mayor and council get it, and we keep kind of pushing, but we can only push so much. I think until they hear from you, you would have probably a better impact than we do.
If I may, I have personally spoken with council person for Ward 5 about the problem, and he promised to at least bring it up with the other members of the council and the mayor. My concerns are not that it's difficult to do a job, but it's pretty much impossible if we were doing what the commission was originally scheduled to organize to do. I was on the commission from 2009 to 2017 when I timed out. At that time, of course, it was a different time. We hadn't had COVID, but I don't think we ever missed a meeting for lack of quorum. And we had a number of subcommittees that did some in-depth looking into things that we were looking for. We also, at that time, had a number of requests, both from mayor and council and from the city manager's office, for us to look into things. Now, I've been on for now 2 years, or almost 2 years, and the only request I have seen for us to investigate or audit anything was from a commissioner who's no longer the commissioner. And it was before COVID. And we finally did have a subcommittee set up that worked through that and made a recommendation. That's one out of the last 3 years. The question I have for the, and I'm not sure I want to be on the offer to the audience. I'd like to be on the docket so that we can discuss this with mayor and council.
So the only other way to do that is you'd have to request through the mayor to put an item on the agenda for discussion. She's the one that sets the agendas and what items get to be put on the agenda. So that would be my other recommendation, is that you schedule a meeting with the mayor's office to see about either just talking with her or placing an item on either probably a study session agenda to discuss the IAPC's role, the lack of membership on it, and then how do you move forward?
And the lack of interest from the mayor, council, and the city of Tucson for the use of the IAPC. It's also concerning me.
Right.
Yolanda, may I ask a question? Who in the office of the mayor would be the right person to approach on this subject to have that discussion?
Danny, is it Charlene? Is that who?
Yeah, either I would recommend either Charlene or Juan.
I would probably do the both of them then. It's Charlene Mendoza or Juan Ramirez. But you can also you can call them at the mayor's number, or you can send them email at the mayor's email address. I think it's mayorromero@tucsonaz.gov.
Thank you, Yolanda.
You're welcome.
I have a question. This is Commissioner Pollack. You referred to the online application. And where is that?
So after this meeting, what we can do, Danny, will you make sure that you send them the link to that application so that they'll have it to inform people that are interested in serving on the commission of where to go to fill out that application?
The other thing I'm wondering is, I mentioned NewsNet to our last person we were talking with.
Mm-hmm.
The city has tools to advertise for these things. Why can't they advertise in NewsNet? And we have Neighborhood Nugget. Maybe that's not so good. But each one of these departments have their own newsletters. So PDSD has theirs. NewsNet, I'm not sure who owns that. Surely the mayor has a newsletter?
The mayor and council offices, they each have a newsletter. But we could, Danny, like we do for magistrates, maybe we can do a NewsNet advertisement for people interested in serving on the commission.
Yeah, because I've never seen anything ever since I joined a few years ago, and I saw it in Ward 6 newsletter, but I've never seen anything since in anyone's newsletter. So we need advertising.
Right. Okay, yeah. That's something we can look into, and I'm pretty sure we can get that through the newsletter that the city puts out. Yeah.
Because I know personally, I've written the mayor and council, didn't hear a single word back. I honestly think that a lot of them don't understand what it is. Yet it's in the charter, right?
Right.
It's mandated by the charter. And so
by statute.
Yeah, it needs to be, a commission that's staffed and working. But anyway.
Or not, Commissioner. Right. If we are no longer serving a viable function for the city of Tucson or the mayor and council, then it seems a shame to tie up the supporting staff from the city who do all this work for us if we're not actually doing anything except having a nice meeting once a month.
I take your point, Mr. Chairman. I think it's a good question as to whether they see us as having value.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, I would, at the appropriate time, I want to consider a motion to send a delegation to the mayor's office on the subject of this topic so that we bring to them in an appropriate way, not just, in a confrontational way, the desire for this commission to be functioning fully and have some responsibilities that are recognized.
I think that's very good, and I'll take discussion on it in just a minute. I would point out that right at the moment, the city mayor and council are working on a budget and trying to deal with monetary issues. And Ward 6 is facing an election for a supervisor. It probably isn't the ideal time.
No, I agree. I think timing is a very good question. I just think that we need to take some more positive steps than just sending over letters that don't get answered.
Agreed. So Mr. Pollack, do you have anything you want to say on that?
I totally agree. I don't want to see the commission go away. We have an obligation to the residents. You know, the mayor and council are our representatives. And because the city's downsized to a nub, you know, this is just one more thing that they, you know, may not realize could actually help them instead of, you know, they're not making it go away, but they're not helping it be retained. So I'd like to see it continue. That's for sure.
So just so that you...
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Yolanda.
I'm sorry, Mr. Burke. Just so you know, the mayor and council will meet twice in May, twice in June. They're off in July, and then they'll resume again in August. So not sure what timing you guys are looking at, but just kind of keep that under your hat so you know what meeting dates are available.
If I could follow up on that, Yolanda.
Mm-hmm.
It's been mentioned that the mayor and council has Ward 6 to address, and then, of course, the budget issues. What's the timeline for the resolution of those major matters that would then open a time for us to meet with the mayor at a time when we would have a reasonable prospect of getting some action on the calendar?
So the Ward 6 appointment is scheduled for Monday, May 6th. That's when they'll hear kind of do small interviews with the applicants. They'll either appoint somebody that night, and if they don't that night, they'll do it on Tuesday, May 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And budget adoption is scheduled for June. I think it's June 4th, Antonio, right?
Yeah, the first meeting in June.
First meeting in June. The second meeting in June, they have a tax levy item to do. So...
Am I correct in believing that the person who is going to be appointed to Ward 6 will not stand for election?
I have no clue. I'm not sure who they're going to appoint and how that's going to pan out.
Was one of the suggestions.
My understanding from reading the news on that is that some of them indicated that they're not going to run, and others have been...
Others have indicated that they have, right?
Yeah. So it depends on who they appoint in terms of how that comes out.
Right.
But yeah, they're just going to end up appointing somebody in the next few days. Right. And but it won't matter if they're going to run for election. That's our person. There's a lot of time left from here to next January.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
There are many things that would concern any appointee. Whether or not the commissioner keeps going forward, it's probably not too high on their list.
No, I agree.
I think we should shoot for June, because every year it's all about the budget. Oh, we can't get in touch with them because of the budget. After a while, you just can't worry about that, because if they're going to go out and be gone in July, well, then it's summer, and you know, we're going to be waiting until September. So I think sometime in June, right after they do the budget adoption. And this tax item is, they're talking about another sales tax.
May I ask the commissioners if you will be available on the June 5th scheduled meeting for the IAPC?
Let me look at the calendar and I'll tell you.
Yeah, I should be available.
June, fourth. What was that? Date again, please.
Five.
Fourth, apparently. I thought it was the fifth.
The first meeting in June is June 4th.
That's for mayor and council, but I thought the chair asked about IAPC meeting.
Oh, yeah, yes, you're correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
So that is on the 5th.
I would suggest perhaps we table our issues on that until we have some idea of what the budget is doing, and then set up a subcommittee for those that want to do it.
Well, I'll be available on June 5th. So if that's the, if you're needing to take a head count, I'm available.
Yeah, I am too.
Voting.
I'd like. I'd like to maybe in that, if we're going to do a little subcommittee thing, that we think about marketing, that focus on marketing. I mean, you know, we can go after the mayor and council, but I don't know if they're really going to, I'm not confident anybody's going to come through on anything. We have to figure out.
We have Ms. Lozano, who's waiting here for us, and there's probably some things we might want to discuss as a committee, but do you have any further questions? Or so she can get on with her job.
No
questions. Thank you, Yolanda.
Yeah,
thanks,
thank you,
Mr. Berg. Thank you, Ms. Pollack. All right, so just let us know if you do have any more questions. Antonio knows how to reach us. And we'll see what happens.
If you happen to run into the mayor's office or staff, you might remind inform them that we've had this robust discussion about meeting with them. We're not trying to be confrontational. We're trying to get things done.
No, yeah. But like I said, if you guys are know of people that are citizens of the city of Tucson and would like to serve on the commission, I don't think that they have to be ward specific to the ward that is appointing them. They have to just be residents of the city.
That's
so
correct.
Have them. I'll have Danny send you the link to the application online. Have them start, fill out that application. Once we get it, we'll make sure that we get it to the mayor and council so that they have some of that stuff before you guys decide to meet with them.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Linda. All right. We'll see you.
Bye-bye, Danny.
Announcement of election of IAPC officers. Anybody want to take my job, please?
I'd move to have you continue.
Boy, there's three. We're like, who's got the short straw?
Well, to be honest, I'm going to be traveling in July, August, and September. And Mr. Chair, I think you're doing a great job. If you would feel comfortable taking it, I'd re-nominate you.
Yeah, I'm afraid that I'm still traveling a lot, too. That's why I'm not there in person. But I'll continue on as vice chair.
Well, then I'll make a motion for continuing with both the vice chair and the chair for the next term.
We vote the next meeting then.
Oh, is that right?
You want to put it on the docket for next meeting?
Hey, I
oh,
have
I
a
thought
question.
We were doing it now. Sure.
Yeah, Commissioner Pollack.
I have a question. I don't know when my term is up, honestly. I have to dig through the paperwork and figure it out. Can you guys figure that out? Because you have
yes.
the official records.
Yeah, I can find out. I can do some research and find out.
Okay. So what is the term? Length? I want to say it's 3 years?
4 years.
4 years.
It's still 4 year terms.
Oh, you can. Okay. Then I'm good probably for another 4 years.
Yeah, I served 8 years from 2009 to 2017.
You know, and I have been racking my brain trying to determine if I know anybody who could serve on this, but I don't know that many people in town with that want to spend some extra time on volunteering.
You guys are stuck with me because I have the fortune of having one of the council members, a friend, personal friend, who after my wife passed away decided to rush in and get me involved with something.
Yeah.
So. Well, he's been successful at that. Well, are we simply saying that we want to hold an election next meeting? Is that what I'm understanding from this?
I think
agenda?
They're set for June. But the motion, I think, was to continue the. Say it again, Commissioner Park.
My motion is to for the current occupants of chair and vice chair to continue for the next term.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
In that case, I'd like to establish that in the next area here and put that on the docket for the vote.
Okay. Sure.
Okay. That way we don't work around the little rules they have.
That's fine.
And who knows, maybe by next month we'll have a new appointee that can whatever. Well.
I'm not going to hold my breath till the next meeting on that point.
Do we have an audience?
No. Seeing none.
In that case, I think we need to talk about future addenda items. We talked about the election. It'll be on the agenda. And we need the continuing discussion of how to proceed with the IAPC appointments. I'm sorry, Commissioner Pollard?
Oh. I was just going to say, I think that if we just focused on, you know, that as one of the main things, try to figure out how to find people, how to advertise, how to, you know, do that, that would be the most helpful thing.
Makes sense to me.
For what it's worth, that they're not at these mayor and council meetings, the budget item isn't the only thing on the agenda. There's a lot of
exactly.
other agenda items. So I'd say there's capacity now.
Right. So how can we find out who could contact the mayor's office in order to see how we can get on the agenda? Can we do that sooner than later?
I can do that. I can reach out to Juan and Charlotte to see if there's an interest to get you all on the agenda.
Or at least an opportunity to talk with them face to face.
How about set up a meeting? How about we start there? Set up a meeting with the mayor's office. Let's do that. Okay.
That would be nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think we need to meet with Charlene and Juan in the office with a delegation. Rather than trying to get on the calendar without any notice or discussion.
Sure. Right.
As I said, I already broached the subject with Commissioner Councilman Fiembers. And he is very concerned that the IAPC no longer seems to have the push it once did.
Good.
Well, I'll talk to Councilman Cunningham's office. That's my appointment, and I'll bring this to their attention.
And I don't have anybody to talk to right now.
Right. You're waiting. So,
we're hopeful. They're down to four candidates in Ward 6, so now we're going to find out soon who it'll be.
Right.
I think then the next agenda should deal with what the clerk can tell us about organizing meetings or setting up meetings and discuss among ourselves the way we wish to proceed in this matter. You agree?
Yes.
Again, we're tying up enough resources as it is now without doing anything, so.
Right. I do, Mr. Chair, have an agenda item that I briefly mentioned that I want to return to, if I may.
Please.
And that is, I sit on another commission within the city that monitors the progress on road repavement and construction through neighborhoods and main arterials, et cetera.
Yes. And
it's come to my attention, I think I brought it up earlier in a brief statement, that increasingly the potential for completing road construction is complicated by the fact that the city water department, which has to coordinate with the transportation and mobility department on road repaving, doesn't have a capital budget to replace water lines. And they're just doing catch as catch can rather than any systematic budget availability to make sure that the projects are large enough and can be coordinated with the transportation department's desire to pave. Obviously, when you pave, you go over water lines, and those are issues that need to be coordinated. What I'm hearing is that because of a lack of capital budget or focus on that budget, that over time, it's going to impact adversely the efforts of transportation and mobility to complete projects on time. And that's not to the benefit of the community, of course. So I don't know what the role we could play in that, and I want it to be constructive, but I think it's a growing concern that I want to bring to your attention.
Well, at our last meeting, I think it was determined that we were going to be provided with some budget materials.
Yes. I'm just emphasizing it because there was a more explicit discussion about this topic at the last meeting I attended. Yes. And it's really elevated in the concern of the commission I serve on. And that's why I'm bringing it up again.
You can reach out to the Tucson Water folks and the finance folks and see if we can get them that June 5th meeting.
Right. But I'd also like to get a copy of the budget.
Okay.
That was offered at the last meeting.
Oh, okay. So
when we were looking at the CAFR,
the budget report.
Yeah.
Okay. The FY24 budget report.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we're talking about no capital funds for things, that at least give us a basis of where to look. So.
Yeah, and I don't understand the water department's budget at all, so. That's a good idea.
Okay. Anything else you want to add to the docket next time? We're asking Antonio to do a lot of work in between. I appreciate it.
Yes, thank you. Nothing further from Burke.
Yeah, I don't have anything further. That's, you know, this coordination between departments and trying to be efficient and everything. It's really too bad. And no budgets. Yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
I agree. And I think the more we get into IA and or AI and computer and programming talk, I think there's less contact between the areas of government. Less personal contact.
Yeah.
But anyway. Well,
I know you want to be helpful, and I think we just need to search for a way to do that.
Absolutely. If there's nothing further, then I'll see you next week or next month.
Yes.
That is adjourned.
Thank you.
4:10 p.m. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you, guys.